Joining us now are David Brooks, senior editor at the Weekly Standard, and E.J. Dionne, a columnist for the Washington Post and senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Good to see you.
Here.
Happy New Year.
We take this group photo of this cabinet so far, and does it indeed look like America? Today we had, heritage reflecting Lebanese, Hispanic, and Asian. What do you think about this, David?
Yeah, Spence Abram, the new secretary, is a Lebanese Christian American. Finally, someone with some meat on his bones. This is a very fit cabinet. They look like they were born with squash rackets in their hands. And so it does look like America in some sense, but it also looks like corporate America. And that may be a testament to corporate America, but it is an ethnically diverse cabinet. But one thing that's clear about Clinton or about Bush is that when he wants serious people, he doesn't want serious intellectuals. He wants serious managers.
You had,
we have an MBA president, and it's an MBA administration.
Paul O'Neill, Treasury Secretary from Alcoa. Properly graying.
Yes. No, you have a series of people who either work for people like Eli Lilly, companies like Eli Lilly, or manage some large organization, whether it was in California or Florida, large public sector organizations.
EJ, what do you think of this cabinet?
Well, I think it looks like a corporation combined with a conservative think tank with an excellent affirmative action program. I mean, this is a very ideological cabinet, and that I think it represents, if you will, the three wings of Bushism, the corporate America part, the old Republican establishment part. I think we're going to have to do Gerald Ford tributes for a while, and then a good hardcore conservative base. Good is depends on your point of view, of course. I think in terms of controversy, you're probably going to have big controversy only around the Ashcroft nomination. Senator Ashcroft, as Attorney General, has aroused a lot of opposition for his fight against a black judge appointed by President Clinton, and on other issues like abortion. And I think you'll probably have a fight around the Interior Secretary, where there's a lot of belief that she is really more pro-development than she is pro-environment. And I think the environmentalists are going to organize against her. I think they'll both go through, but I think those are where Democrats are going to lay down their markers.
Well, let me ask you about it. Gail Norton, of course, has not been a senator, so she does not have that protection there at Interior in her confirmation. Time Magazine's Jack White says today in an article, a column, the angriest coalition of liberal, civil rights, and feminist organizations Washington has seen since the 1987 battle over Supreme Court nominee Robert Bork is lining up to oppose him, meaning John Ashcroft, as Attorney General.
Yeah, John Ashcroft angered them by opposing an African-American judge, Ronnie White, and in the spirit of bipartisanship that is sweeping through Washington, they are trying to call John Ashcroft a racist. I'm not quite sure how it'll work. On the one hand, lots of people talk about senatorial privilege, which is supposedly extended to senators. It doesn't happen a lot. John Tower was a senator, a disliked senator, but his nomination for Secretary of Defense was thrown out. I'm not sure senatorial privilege will carry John Ashcroft through. What may, though, is that he is not actually a controversial or a confrontational figure. He was an aloof member of the Senate, a very conscientious man with great integrity, but he is sort of a softy. In the Bush way, actually, for social conservatives, there are two types, the Jerry Falwell fighters and the John Ashcroft huggers, or just a warm, softer personality.
Let's talk about Democrats for a moment. Don Gagne mentioned that prominent Democrats were not jumping at these jobs in the cabinet. We had Norman Mineta, a Democrat transportation secretary, and today he said, in his words, that there's nothing Democratic or Republican about highways, railroads, and pipelines. So it's hidden pretty far down in this cabinet.
Right. Well, I think the one thing Republicans and Democrats agree on is they love to bring money back to their districts for transportation projects. So it is probably the easiest job in which to put a Democrat. He has a good relationship with Andrew Card, the former transportation secretary. When Card was there, Mineta chaired that committee in the House. I think he's well-liked. I don't think it's hugely significant. I noted that he didn't say Bush won the election. He said the constitutional process made him president. So he didn't make that concession that Democrats don't feel like making these days.
Well, how important is it that we just have one Democrat, apparently, unless George Tenet of the CIA stays on, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's terribly important. You never get any credit. Bill Clinton didn't get credit for Secretary of Defense Cohen. I think the point to be made, though, this is not a Newt Gingrich, Dick Armey style of Republican Party. It's not a Southern populist party, and it's not an ideological party. These people are conservative, but they don't see politics as a war of ideas. We have to prove liberal ideas false. It's more of a corporate managerial style. So while they may distrust government, they're big believers in process. It was a good day for anal retentives. They're very organized people, and they're oriented toward cutting a deal. That's what they get out of their business life. And so they are deal makers rather than ideological soldiers, the way the Republican Party was cast, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
I disagree with David just a little on that. I think there is there are the corporate types, but there are also ideological people in the cabinet. I've always been curious, for personal reasons, what it would be like to be a columnist named to a job. Linda Chavez is a columnist. She has a huge paper trail. She started out in the labor movement as a neoconservative. She's become more conservative as the years go by. She's very bright. She's also very outspoken. So I think what you have is a group of ideological people, and even the people who are in the Gerald Ford administration reflect the shift of the Republican Party to the right. They are more conservative today than they were 25 years ago, and I think that's going to be true of this whole administration.
Let's take one particular issue. Donald Rumsfeld, to go back to the corporate world, if confirmed, will take over at defense, and he may be looking at trying to spend $100 billion for a missile defense shield for the United States, one which hasn't been proven it can work at all. And that could be a pretty big fight.
Yeah, it would be a massive fight, not only domestically, but internationally. I'm not sure, really, the Bush people are up to it. But the selection of Rumsfeld was a fascinating and almost quintessential selection. On the one hand, he's a very successful businessman, veteran of the Ford administration, but also the author or co-author of a commission report on why missile defense was necessary. Someone who, as EJ said, has gotten clearly much more conservative than he was in the Ford administration. So he brings the business world, but also some ideological conviction, some conservative conviction. I really have my doubts whether the Bush administration is going to want to eat up an entire year, which is what it would take to get missile defense through the House and through the world. The other interesting dynamic there is Donald Rumsfeld versus Colin Powell. Colin Powell much more cautious about using U.S. forces abroad than Donald Rumsfeld. That is the titanic sort of civil war waiting to happen in the administration.
I want to draw this picture here to go back to the photo analogy. You have George Bush and you have his cabinet. Does he say to them, okay, what do we do? Or do they say to him, we're ready to follow you?
He made pretty clear in his statement today that we had on earlier that he picks them and then he delegates. And I think it's going to be a very interesting test of cabinet government. I think he is going to give them a lot of authority. There are a lot of academics who study these things who say cabinet government under our system doesn't work all that well. You need a strong White House. This is the ultimate test.
Thank you. E.J. Dionne, a columnist for The Washington Post, senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks, senior editor at The Weekly Standard.
Thank you.